Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Dan Jeremiah is an NFL Network analyst and draft analyst, and you can follow him on Twitter at MoveTheSticks. NFL Network will have, obviously, draft coverage from Nashville starting at 8 p.m. tomorrow night. They'll also have all their morning shows starting at 6 o'clock tomorrow morning. Our friends over there at 6 o'clock, Schrager and all the guys and ladies there will be there starting at 6 a.m. tomorrow morning with all their coverage. Listen, they'll be there around the clock. You know how it is for the next couple of days. The draft is one of the, you know, and give the NFL credit. And the draft is one of the events that made ESPN. It really is. It's one of the events that ESPN first wrapped their arms around and made them. It really it was one of the hooks into America that they had to have. When they didn't have live events, it was one of the first ones they really threw in and really turned into a major event. Now they have competition because you have the NFL Network also. But in those days, it really launched ESPN and became one of the great non-events. I mean, for no action, it's an amazingly covered event. And Daniel joins us now. Daniel, welcome. How are you?
I'm doing great, Mike. Thanks for having me.
All right, my pleasure. All right, the hot name, I don't have to ask you who it is. In the last 24 hours, if I hear Daniel Jones's name one more time, I mean, my God. I mean, ball didn't hit the ground when he went here. The Giants were overwhelmed by his workout, which I got from someone who was there. The bottom line is, I mean, and I understand the connections. Connections aside, how high has Daniel Jones ridden up the board?
I don't think anybody knows how high any of these guys are up the board because there's just so much conflicting information that's floating around out there. What I can say is, you know, I thought from the pro day, you know, the Senior Bowl did not go great for him during the week, and then he played well in the Senior Bowl game. So he had a little bit of momentum coming out of that. But going to all the different quarterback pro days, he had as good or better of a pro day workout than anybody. So I thought that, you know,
according to the teams that I talked to, he had the best workout of anybody they brought in. That wasn't even close, supposedly. From one team, wasn't even close.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me because he really threw it well at the pro day. And then meeting with teams, he's very smart. You know, it's a tricky, he's a little bit of a tricky evaluation. For me, I have him as the fourth quarterback.
Right. Not a great athlete. You know, he's a lot like Eli. He's not a great athlete, but he might be, I don't know if he's as durable and as tough as Eli, because that's going to be hard to duplicate. But you know what? If he's smart and he's got some toughness, he might be around a long time.
Yeah, I think he's a tough kid. He played through a shoulder injury. He's got that toughness. Now Eli's that's legendary with his toughness, but you know, he has a lot of things teams like, and I think people forget when they look at him and they drill him on the numbers being what they were and not winning more games. They haven't had a player drafted at Duke since he's been playing quarterback there. Not a single one. So he's taken the field most weeks with inferior players, and he's had to function and play in some chaotic environments, which a lot of the college kids don't get a chance to do that.
All right, let's start at the top. Daniel, it says here, I'm not as confident as I once was that Murray will be the pick. All the guys I talked to, that would be a stunner at this point. You think there's a chance he might not be? Do you really think there's a chance he might not be the pick?
No, I think he'll be the pick. I think that one's a little bit older. I have a new one. The last one I have to do comes out. We have a show.
Okay, so you think he will be the pick? You think he will be the pick?
Yeah,
okay.
I think everything okay. I've heard. Is,
I mean,
you know,
everything. Yeah, someone said yesterday to me 99% he's the pick.
Yeah.
So I mean, that would be a stunner. Do you think Bosa goes to San Francisco too?
Yeah, I think Bosa goes two, and then I think the fun starts at three.
Yeah, it does, because everybody has a different player for the Jets and have them trading down. Now, first things first, do you believe these trades that Washington is looking to trade as high as three to get into the quarterback? Do you think there's something to that?
I think there's something to that. I just heard it from a lot of different places. So I put some stock into that. And I also, it sounds like they haven't been aggressive with the Rosen stuff. So if you haven't been aggressive with the Rosen stuff, it means you're all in on one of these quarterbacks. And if you're all in, then that makes sense why they'd be making calls to go up and get the guy they want.
All right, let's say the Jets keep the pick. Are you in the – you know, Ed Oliver is one of these guys that one guy told me he might be the most talented player in the draft. He also might be off people's boards. He's got a reputation, got supposedly a bad temper, uncoachable, blah, blah, blah. I don't know what's true and not true. Never met him. First of all, how unruly is he?
I haven't heard that it's that bad.
He started a fight supposedly at the Walter Camp, from what I understand. You know, even there,
yeah,
I mean.
Some immaturity stuff, but I haven't heard anybody that said they removed him from their draft board yet. So
okay.
I don't think, you know, it depends on the position where your leniency is with some of this stuff. Having a defensive lineman that's got a temper doesn't usually move them.
No, I mean, as long as he's not a really bad kid. I mean, I don't know where you draw the line. I mean, guys can fall.
I think he's a bored kid. I think he went to a non-Power 5 school at Houston, and I think he got bored pretty quickly. You know, he dominated his first year there. And then it just looked like it was somebody that was just counting down the days until he could go get paid and play professional football.
When you compare someone to Aaron Donald, the people are going to have attention.
Aaron Donald.
No, and no one is. And no one should be mentioned in that breath, I agree. So if it's the Jets keeping the pick, which who knows if they will. We all know they can trade down. If they keep the pick, who do you think they're taking?
I think it would be Quinnen Williams is my guess. Just because I think he's the best player that they're going to be staring at. And I don't think they're in a position where they can...
You like him better or Oliver better?
I like Quinnen Williams better. I think he's a bigger, stronger guy that can really, really dominate both as a rush guy and as somebody that can hold up against the run. I think he's a more complete football player.
Okay, and then you have the Raiders, what, taking the other one?
Yeah, I think that those guys go 3 and 4, whichever order they come off the board. So I had Oliver going to the Raiders next. They had 13 sacks last year. They got to do something to get their pass rush going.
All right, and what do you think? Because Tampa gets tricky, and that changes things a lot for the Giants. What happens with Tampa?
Well, in this situation, it's going to be really interesting because they're faced with Devin White, who everybody says they love, that I talk to,
right.
And then Josh Allen still on the board. So they're going to go either edge rusher or linebacker. You know, when you try to build your team to win your division, and I look at Alvin Kamara and Christian McCaffrey in that division, I think Devin White would have a lot of value in that defense.
All right, and that takes us to the Giants. Now, I got to tell you, I have no idea what the Giants are going to do, but I tell you this, I don't think they would have done this the way they did it if they intended on taking a quarterback at 6. I don't think they do. That's just me. I think they're going to take a defensive player at 6. I don't know anything. Do you think they're going to take a quarterback? Or you think they're going to take a defensive player?
Well, we're in the same boat on that. I just think listening to Gettleman the other day, and he's not a poker player. He's brutally honest. And last year, you know, he telegraphed it. Last year, he said, "I want a gold jacket guy. I'm going to take the best available player. I don't care about position. I'm just going to take the best player I could see potentially being a Hall of Famer," which clearly pointed to Saquon Barkley over a quarterback, and that's exactly what they did. And then this year, when you listen to him, he's talked about the same things. He's not going to move a quarterback over somebody that's higher graded. So if I take him at his word, he's proven that he's been pretty honest.
So if he doesn't take quarterbacks here at 6, and they all went off the board, the guys that we had by name, who's the next player?
So if they at 6, I'd have him taking Josh Allen in this scenario.
Okay, but if he went, okay.
Oh,
okay. So if White goes to, if White goes to Tampa and they leave Allen on the board, I think the Giants would be ecstatic.
Yes, that's why I think they would make that pick.
Yeah, I think the Giants need someone who can rush. Now, is this a reach for them to go there? See, the Giants, the way they went out and got their guys, are not going to take an offensive lineman at 6. They're not going to do that. They're going to take a defensive player because because of who they brought in and the way they think they have the offensive line built, they don't think they need to bring a tackle in at 6. So they're not going to do that. So they're going to get a defensive player if they don't take a quarterback. And I don't think they are. They'll take the best defensive player. So if they all went off the board, would it be a stretch if they took the Clemson kid this high?
No, not at all. To me, you look at – there's a bunch of Clemson kids, I guess I should specify there.
Right.
But if you're looking, I have Wilkins in there.
That's who I'm talking about.
He's my seventh player. He's my seventh player, so that's right in the wheelhouse where they're picking.
Okay, that's who, so you wouldn't think that was a reach to take him there.
No, not at all.
See that. I could see them doing that. And I'll tell you the guy that I wish the Giants had room for, and I wish he was on the board at 17, but he won't be, is Jonah Williams, because I think that guy is going to be an all-pro offensive lineman. I think he's got the makeup. I think he's got the temperament. I think the whole thing. I think that guy's going to be I think he's one of the can't-miss players in this whole draft, except I just think the Giants need defense first, and they're not going to take – he won't be there when they pick at 17. I think he would be great for them. I really do. I think he's going to be good for somebody.
Yeah, I think he'll end up – I think he'll – first of all, he'll be gone. I think he'll end up kicking inside. I think he'll end up playing guard. And you look at some of the guys inside the division that you've seen kick inside the guard with Zach Martin and Scherf with the Redskins have been really good players. I think he's going to follow that same path.
You know, I like about him more than anything else is his temperament. I mean, and the way he talks about football and he's smart. I mean, the whole thing. I mean, that's what you like to hear. I mean, loves football, the whole thing. I mean, just seems to be a guy that you'd like to have on your team. He really does. How about the Iowa tight end? Do you think he's – now, they like their tight ends out of that school, plus everybody likes players produced from that school. But do you think he's as good as advertised?
He's phenomenal, and he's such an advantage to have an inline tight end that can do what he does. You can't be right defensively. So if you want to go big and try and hold up in the run game, he can run by you and do some things there. And then if you want to go small, he's going to pulverize you in the run game. So I think Hockenson's really valuable. And I try and figure out where to put him. I think he's going to end up going to Jacksonville. And if you look at the tree you know very well with Coughlin and Parcells.
Oh, absolutely.
They love inline tight ends.
Love them. You know,
you can
love
follow them all the way back through. So to me, he would fill that void for him right now. They do not have a tight end that gets you all that fired up on that roster.
Almost
right
all of them coached by Mike Pope, as a matter of fact, who was a great tight end coach. Absolutely. They love those guys from Bavaro right through. I mean, the tree, absolutely. You're absolutely right. They love those guys. This would leave, and we're talking with Daniel Jeremiah, NFL Network, this would leave these quarterbacks still on the board. Give me the way you like them, not the way you think they'll come off the board, the way you like them as prospects, other than, not counting Kyler Murray, of course, the other ones. From the other ones, Jones and Haskins and Locke, et cetera, Greer, how do you like them as far as players?
Yeah, for me, it'd be Haskins, too. You know, as a little bit of a qualifier with him, you're just going to have to invest what's in front of him. You know, you're
what does that mean? What's the issue with
him? To me, it's not. I think people hear it wrong when you say the mobility is a concern. I'm not looking for him to run read option. I'm not looking for him to roll out. I'm looking for him when he gets some pressure inside to be able to pull through it, to sidestep it, just real quick, sudden movement. You know, Tom Brady's not a great athlete, but he can move inside that little phone booth. And that's something Dwayne needs to work on. And his eyes are really fast, but his feet don't always catch up with his eyes. So
how come you heard some – how come the knocks on him – there were a lot of knocks on him during this whole process, that he wasn't in great shape and different things like that, which, you know, he's one guy – you usually don't hear a lot of knocks on these guys, but he was one guy you heard a couple of knocks on. Anything to that stuff with him?
Well, you know, he was he was leaner. He was in good shape at his pro day. He was leaned out from what you saw him at the combine. So he's not going to wow you with his physique, and he's not going to wow you with his movement. That's who he is. But he can spin it. When he's clean and he's back there and he's protected, he can really throw it. So, you know, that's why I have him as a second guy, but there's a gap. I have Murray as the number 11 overall player behind all these defensive guys for the most part. And then I have him down there in the early 20s. So there's a pretty good gap between 1 and 2 for me.
Well, Dr. O'Brien, who's like a brother to me and who is one of the noted orthopedic surgeons in the country and was a Harvard quarterback, told me the worst-bodied quarterback, and he used to do the physicals for the draft, the worst-bodied quarterback he ever examined was Tom Brady.
There you go.
He said he was like a chicken. He said he was like – he said to think that he could become what he's become. So it just shows you sometime what hard work will do, you know?
No doubt. No doubt. So it's going to be fun to see how these guys come off. I'd have it asking – for me, Locke is the third guy with tremendous ceiling, but he's got some things he needs to clean up. He'd benefit from a year of sitting.
Is Locke a real cocky kid?
I would say he's got a bigger personality. If you're going to compare him to Daniel Jones, he has a bigger personality, and and carries himself a little more, you know, for lack of a better word, a little more swagger, where Daniel's a little more understated. So there's a different personality. You both of them, interestingly enough, phenomenal basketball players.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that they're athletes. I like good athletes. I mean, you know, listen, you're going to get your Tom Brady every once in a while, but I don't mind if they're good athletes, you know, because sometimes that helps them a little bit. So, how about Grias? Because people have been mentioning him as a guy who could be a second-round guy who maybe could surprise some people. What do you think of Greer?
I'm not as high on him. That's a little bit rich for me. But, you know, hey, look, I know there's some people around the league that like him, some that don't. I don't think he has a huge arm. You know, I thought you watch him against Iowa State was the first game I watched, and he took like 7 sacks. He just couldn't get away from the pressure. And in that offense, the ball comes out quick. Well, when it wasn't there right away, I thought he kind of struggled. So he's got some intriguing qualities. He throws a pretty ball, but didn't have a great week at the Senior Bowl. Didn't have a great combine. And I just had a little bit of concern there. So he's down the board a little ways for me.
Who's your sleeper guy? Who's the guy you like that maybe people have overlooked this year that you think is going to be a good player?
I take a shot on Brett Rippon from Boise State at the right time. I mean, he's played in an offense that I think translates pretty well with what he's asked to do. He doesn't have a huge arm, but he's got enough. And he's just real firm and strong in the pocket. And he's a good player. You know, he competed there with Ryan Finley and beat him out. Finley ended up transferring to NC State. But I think he's an interesting one, especially where you could get him.
And how about the workout freak? Where's he going? How far are people going to invest in him? I mean, he put up insane numbers, as we know, but he did miss a lot of time, and he's got a bad neck, right? So how far is it? Where do you think he's going to get drafted?
Metcalf.
Yeah.
Yeah, Metcalf is look. I think he's going to be a top 40 pick. I don't. You know, I just had a hard time finding the right team in the first round. There's so many receivers that are valued in that second round range. Like, I have a million of them from, I'm looking at right now, 36 overall on my list, 36, 37, 40, 42, 49, 52, 57, 59, 60. So if there's that many guys evenly graded in the second round, it doesn't help a guy like Metcalf, you know, sneak into the first round, because people are just going to sit there and wait and take him at the first part of the second round.
How about this Montez Sweat, who a lot of people like him. Now, little different of opinion on him, though. Some people really love him. Some people don't. I mean, some people, you know, he seems to have a lot of detractors and a lot of fans. How about him?
Well, he's a rare height, weight, speed combination. I mean, he's almost 6'6". He ran a 4.4, 260 pounds. And he's got production in the SEC, which that matters. He played really well at the Senior Bowl. There's the issue with his heart that some teams are worried about. So you got to rely on the doctors on that. I hear differing things from different teams on whether or not they're okay with him. And then he's another one that's just, he's had some stuff in his past. He's just got to continue to mature and grow up a little bit. Some people feel better about that than others.
All right. And anybody else who's really flying up the board that's, you know, really come on like crazy the last couple of weeks or a week or so, that, you know, like the Urlacher days or somebody like that, just, you know, goes up flying all the way up the board?
Yeah, I think keep an eye on Brian Burns from Florida State, who's their edge rusher. He's played at 220-something pounds in the fall. He showed up at almost 250 at the combine. He ran in the low 4.5, so he's a freaky athlete. And, you talk to teams at the top that are looking at trading down, he's a target for them. And you talk to teams that are in the 20s, talk about trading up, he's a target for them. So he could have people coming in both directions to try and get him.
When you do this, you know teams are going to lie to you. You know that's part of the business.
Yeah.
I mean, so from that standpoint, do you have your couple of go-to guys that you trust and that's it? Or do you just expect them all to play the game?
Yeah, you've got a handful that you trust that you've known for a long time that aren't gonna, you know, they're not gonna tell me who they're picking, but I can get a sense of what's gonna happen. And when you look at, you marry that information up with where they're picking and what their needs are, and you say, man, if they need a tackle, you know, they're picking in the 20s, they can't stay there and get one. They're not gonna be there. So you can kind of do the math and say, okay, this team might move up. So it's just trying to connect a lot of dots.
And how about when teams ignore guys? Does that mean to you that they're off the guy no matter what, or do you see times where that doesn't marry up also?
I've got a couple guys in this last mock draft where I just kind of keep track when I've talked to their general manager on the phone over the last couple months, and if a guy's name has never come up, I usually end up giving him that guy.
Really?
He didn't bring him up for a reason. We talked about everybody else. For some reason, he didn't want to talk about this guy.
Yeah, that makes sense. Listen, it's that kind of game. I mean, that's what it is. I mean, there's a lot of misinformation. There's a lot of psychology that goes into it. So it's a lot like this. I always say it's a lot like the stock market. It really is. There's a lot of momentum. There's a lot of psychology. There's a lot of crazy stuff that goes into this thing.
And there's a lot of luck at the end of the day.
Yeah, no, you know, listen, especially, you know, Mike Holmgren always said to me that the toughest position to scout is quarterback, and the biggest mistakes are made there, and you can look historically, they are. Look at all the guys like Klingler, Akili Smith, go down the line. There's a million top 10 mistakes at quarterback, guys who never play. I mean, so you can see probably more at that position than anywhere else.
And you put your job in their hands when you pick them at that position more so than any other. So it's high stakes poker.
Do you expect a lot of trades or not a lot of action?
I think we'll see a lot of action at the end of the first. You know, I know there's a lot of rumblings about stuff happening up top, but I think there's a lot of teams picking in the bottom of the first round that would like to get out. You know, a lot of times you have good teams picking there at the end of the round, and they don't have a pressing need, and they're more willing to say, you know, hey, a team picking at the top of the second round, they want to come up, come on up. We'll get out of here.
All right, listen, thanks very much. Good luck with this stuff the next couple of days. Thanks very much for coming on.
Thanks, Mike.
My pleasure. Daniel Jeremiah, NFL Network. Obviously, the draft tomorrow evening, so everyone will finally find out. And you can see, these guys spend months on this stuff, folks. And, I mean, it can change in a heartbeat. It's just the way it is. I mean, one pick. Let's just say, for argument's sake, that San Francisco makes a trade, lets somebody come up and pick somebody else. That changes the whole draft. It changes the whole thing. So, I mean, all that work, I mean, it can happen. Or, you know, you get one guy who picks a wacky guy and throws the whole order off. It happens. It does.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.